All right, let's stop talking about that subject and talk about other subjects. Good morning and welcome to the roundtable. We were having a discussion in studio and...
And now we're
going to talk about other things.
We didn't get caught, did we?
No. Good morning and welcome. And it's a delight to have you all here. Just a reminder to all of the parties involved who are here that in front of you, you have microphones. Okay. Yeah. Joining me for the discussion
this morning.
Is this
what this thing is?
Yeah. Okay. Yep. That, joining Oh, the jokes. WAMC's Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, Alan.
Good morning, Joe.
Good morning, Joe. University at Albany journalism professor and investigative reporter Rosemary Armeo.
Good morning.
And political consultant Libby Post. Back again. Thank you very much. Great to see you.
My pleasure.
Let us talk about the Ukraine big happenings over the weekend. We were talking about the story all last week, and then some serious stuff went down over the weekend, and there is now a warrant out for the arrest of the president who fled, and the acting interior minister accused the former president of the mass killing of civilian protesters. He also said that the president had arrived in Crimea on Sunday and had fled to an unknown location. The Kremlin says that instability threatens Russian interests, that from just a few moments ago. So the question is, what do we make of all of this? And we'll start with you, Rosemary.
Okay. I listened to the show Friday when I wasn't on too, and you had a great discussion on it, and then everything broke loose. A couple of thoughts. One is we're de-emphasizing the role of organized crime in this. The Ukraine is corrupt. So is Russia, and money is involved here. And you can be sure that when that much money is involved, they don't care about lives. They don't care about governments. They're looking to get their money back. So at the danger is not over. In fact, it's more acute now than I think it has been. And second, I cannot figure out why Yulia Tymoshenko, the woman you recognize, former premier with the blonde braid, the peasant braids, why she is a hero. She's as corrupt as she didn't deserve to be in prison, certainly not with a back injury. That was all political. And Yanukovych is now going to get a taste of his own medicine. They want to put him in jail, too. But why she is a hero, I cannot figure out.
How do you think this Yanukovych story ends, in the sense of he's fled and now what?
Well, I think they're going to catch him eventually and put him in prison, or else he'll be in Russia and he's protected. And the next step is what Putin is going to do. And I don't think it's going to be good.
There is there's a news analysis in the Times this morning, deeply bound to Ukraine. Putin watches and waits. Alan, what do you make of this situation?
Well, you know, I think Rosemary's exactly right. It's now on Putin. Now, if it were the old Soviet Union, and this was all those years ago in Hungary, you know what would happen. Out would come the forces, and they would cross the border. I'll live to regret this, but I don't know how he does it now, how Putin does it now. He doesn't have, because there's a reason that the U.S. ambassador is standing there with his arm around the former prime minister and making it clear where the United States' interests are. And I think this country may have learned something from the Hungarian Revolution, where we made all kinds of implicit and other promises and then did nothing to help while all those folks suffered. So Putin is a guy who is pretty self-involved, I think. And I think it almost is a good thing that he said it is not consistent with Russian interests, because he has to do something. If that's the something, that's one thing. If it's sending troops over the border and grabbing off, you know, that part of Ukraine, which is the industrial half or a quarter, then I think there really comes that moment of terror for the United States. After all, these guys have missiles, atomic weapons, and so we're not playing with, and we don't know how far Putin will go. So. From you know, anybody looking at this thing says it's really on Putin right now.
There is, looking at the increased fears that Russia would use the disenchanted populations in the Ukraine as a pretext to intervene to reverse their new trajectory, even militarily, as the Kremlin did in two ethnic enclaves in 2008 and another former Soviet republic, Georgia. The fears have been so palpable in the subject of endless speculation in Ukraine and in Russia that advisor Susan Rice warned in a television interview on Sunday that it would, quote, be a grave mistake for Russia to use force, quote, it's in nobody's interest to see violence return and the situation escalate. And she made those comments to me.
Putin has one advantage, though, is that he's far more willing to use troops in what he regards as his sphere of influence than Americans or Europeans, who are also involved in this, are to send troops to protect against that.
Which is why the EU guys are all been so vigorous in their denunciation of the old order. I mean, they have been really loud. I think the American, for the American side, they have done, you know, the same thing. And it's hard for me. I mean, the Soviets lost. There is no Soviet other than the former KGB colonel who is running, you know, everything right now. So it would mean that they would be trying to get back to the old way. And I think that fight has been lost already. Oh, and by the way, one last thing, and that is that Stalin, as we say, that was his whole theory, that you put as many Russians into these areas as you can, and then you fight.
Hitler tried that.
I was going to say, Hitler did the same thing. That was what happened in Austria.
So the spokesman for the Kremlin says, quote, we have to figure out what we are facing there. Is it a coup or what?
Yeah. You know, the Ukraine was skewing towards the EU before all this began, like 3 months ago, and wanted the deal with the European
Russia.
Union.
Oh.
And the Russians pulled that away. How did they do that? Well, I believe it was by offering money. Right. Interest and money to the leader of Ukraine and to his friends, his buddies. And so suddenly we see a big switch. And now it will be key to see who is going to be running the Ukraine, because we have had a revolution, the Orange Revolution in Ukraine, already happened, and that failed because of this same stuff. And Yulia, you know, our little braided heroine, she was susceptible to that too. You need somebody in there who's going to be a governor, not a businessman.
I mean, it really is so ingrained in the culture there that you need to have a total change, a generational shift, in order for the corruption to go away. But it was so ingrained under the Soviet Union, and it's part of the way they operate. And the sense of, well, this is just the way it is, the sense of fatalism that has come through so clearly, even when you see Russian immigrants coming here. We saw a lot of that in the Jewish immigrants coming here in the 90s, this sense of fatalism of what can you do? This is just the way it is.
You can't fight City Hall.
You can't say, and the City Hall is not just City Hall, it's a big hammer. So,
And then too, there's the matter of the gas. You know, the Russians control the energy supply largely to Ukraine. And in the past, they have threatened and have shut it off. I believe that they have, this is how would you guys like to be on the fly on the wall while the Russians and the United States back channels are going on discussions. If you do this, then we'll do this.
Sure.
It's got to be tough.
Yeah, of course, energy policy drives foreign policy everywhere in the world, as our reliance on cheap oil has driven much of our dealings in the Middle East. The Ukraine's reliance on cheap gas has put them into a difficult situation.
As far as you were talking about the back channels and the conversations going on, we know that Putin had a long conversation with Angela Merkel on Sunday. Talk a little bit about that relationship.
Merkel was saying we must respect the sovereignty of the Ukraine. She's worried about the same thing we've been talking about, that Putin's going to move in I'm making quotation marks in the air, protect Russian
interests.
And this
is a woman, I'm sorry for interrupting, who was raised in East Germany.
Exactly, yeah. I mean, there's no question that it's set up that it could happen this way. We're already hearing about ethnic Russians in Ukraine who favored closer ties with Russia, who believe they've been blackmailed. That, you know, there was this deal that we were gonna tie up with Russia, and then a deal when the unrest began that we would have a power share arrangement, and that the current administration would stay in power for a while, and then the protests stopped all that. So yeah, there's the excuse to march right there.
You got a crystal ball?
No, I don't.
So, I mean, where are we right now, do you think, as far as the, I mean, it's still chaos.
It's still chaos. The developments this weekend were stunning. Which is stunning that there was a reversal. And but we've seen this so many other places. I mean, I can remember thinking this one when Mubarak stepped down. I was like, wow, the revolution won. And there's been chaos since. So Ukraine still has a long way to go.
And when NPR was interviewing the MOS, doing the MOS, man in the street, WOS, what'd you say?
POS.
Persons in the street. Everybody seemed to be really down. You know, they're all the same. They're all a bunch of crooks, no matter what happens.
In Ukraine or in the U.S.?
In Ukraine.
They're right there. Mm-hmm. They're right.
Which is pretty much mirrors what you were saying, Rosemary.
Mm-hmm. Maybe you're right either place.
We are so lucky to have Rosemary and Libby here. I mean, Rosemary's spent so much time over that part of the world, and, you know, her insights are so much more germane than what you hear in other places. That's as far as I'm going to go.
Some listeners think that, you know, I'm just trying to act like I know more than anybody else. Believe me, I do not. But this stuff is so interesting worth our paying attention to, which we don't.
I stay with what I want. You know, I mean, your expertise, I know this is going on a little far, but your expertise for us is really great in two major areas. One is, foreign relations. And the other is what's going on at SUNY at this point.
Oh, wow. Okay, let's go back on to something else now.
All
not
right.
SUNY related.
Well, let's take a break, and we'll figure out exactly what that is, and we'll be right back. We welcome your comments, as always, roundtable@wamc.org. Roundtable@wamc.org. We'll be back after this short break.
Support comes from High Meadow School, Stone Ridge, New York, now enrolling children ages 3 to 15 for Summer on the Meadow. Week-long programs June 23rd through August 1st, highmeadowschool.org. Berkshire Health Center's neurosurgery program, with Dr. Jeanette Liu, providing care for brain and spinal disease, herniated discs, and carpal tunnel syndrome. 413-447-2870. And Adirondack Sports and Fitness Summer Expo, Capital Region Run, Hike, Bike, Paddle, Triathlon, and Healthy Living Show with 125 exhibitors and more. March 8th and 9th at Saratoga City Center, adksports.com.
Welcome back to our roundtable panel and to our discussion this morning. Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments. Roundtable@wamc.org. A reminder, you can also... Oh, okay. There you go. You can also weigh in on our Facebook page or tweet us at WAMC Roundtable, at WAMC Roundtable. While we're in that part of the country, let us talk about the Winter Olympics, the end of the Winter Olympics in Sochi. Yesterday, we concluded the Olympics officially. We had the closing ceremonies. I believe in the medal count, the United States came in second.
To Russia.
Mm-hmm. And although it was close there in the last day or two. So... sort of go around the room, but the story that you think that came out of Russia and the Winter Olympics?
I think the big story, and it's lucky for the United States, is that Russia won. Because gives Putin something to feel good about. I said, well, he can beat his chest and say, look, we won, and they lost. And then so on the other thing, that small matter called Ukraine, they can say we could give a little. Hmm. My tongue or my feet?
Libby?
Well, the dogs and the gays were up there in the news, and
But can I just interrupt real quick?
Yeah.
But not the terror that we were all worried about.
There was
the
no terror
threats.
Which was great.
We were all concerned. They were in great danger, and something was going to happen.
So for that, we are thankful of the Soviet era intelligence and the way they handle things.
I mean, we had congressional representatives in this country saying we can guarantee you that something is going to happen, and that didn't happen, thank God.
Right. Okay. They're hysterics.
I remember saying that Putin and is not soft on security.
No,
that would not be a problem,
yeah,
and it was not.
I'm glad that, from what I know, there was only one arrest around gay issues, and it was a former Italian legislator who's transgender. And then the other issue for me was the treatment of the animals and that they were rounding up these dogs and killing them. And American athletes came to some of them to the rescue. I mean, to some of the dogs, brought puppies home. And I mean, I know it sounds a little on soft news perspective, but it's very important to me. So it's good.
I would say that it was a terrific Olympics. Let's not forget that. There were some incredible feats of athleticism. And as always, I say I'm not interested in any of this stuff, and I watched many hours of TV. Mm. That said, $51 billion was spent. 30 of it was probably on corruption. And there are stories coming out now about workers, including those from migrant workers, including some from Bosnia, which is how I know about it, who were lured over to work on construction and work during the Olympics. And then they all went over. They don't have papers, but, you're there at the invitation of the Russian government. And they work for 3 months, get most of their money, and then they're all rounded up and deported without their final paychecks. Great story by a friend, Valerie Safir, and it's running around today.
Well, the more things change, the more things stay the same.
Yeah.
That's
so the story in this part of the world, and this is definitely what I've found from my experience, is corruption.
I think we should say, Libby, for whatever it's worth, and is that in this country we have rounded up animals, put them into shelters, and have them killed. I think it's not unique to the Russians.
I think in the numbers.
The part of the problem in Sochi was that there was no infrastructure in terms of a shelter system and making and dealing with these animals in a humane way.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that I do some animal advocacy work, and yes, there are plenty of kill shelters, and there's a movement for no kill shelters. But I can tell you, there were people that were really upset, but then also people who were so thrilled that one skier really came forward and
Kenworthy.
And did it. And the other thing about the Olympics was it does give you this sense of being able to cheer for your country. And be happy for some of these athletes.
I love all these young people who put far more effort into this than I have in anything in my life.
They just are so dedicated to sport, and it's the one time every 4 years or every 2 years now that we can rise above, hopefully, the politics and just really focus on the athleticism and the talent and what people have strived for and that kind of competition.
By the way, Uganda took all the heat off of Sochi on issues of homosexuality.
Yes.
And so did Arizona, by the way.
Oh, indeed. Yeah, I guess
we'll talk about both of those issues.
Yeah.
And just as we wrap up on the Olympic talk, I do have to say, though, I thought, go Russia, when they, at the closing ceremonies where they had the little wink to the screw-up at the beginning and the snowflake. In the closing ceremonies, they had people on the ground who were choreographed to go, and they had these metallic flowing gowns, for want of a better term, and from an aerial view, it was looked like a moving sea. It was really incredible, and they were doing this very long stage pageant of sort of the history of Russia. But then eventually they went and formed the Olympic rings, but only four of them, and one of them was this little snowflake, and all of a sudden they scurried around and became a. And it was very cute and quite funny, and I thought, well, good for you. That's
It was a good moment, I think, to end on.
Well, and you know, very quickly, I know that I didn't watch any of it. In fact, I was angry that the USA Channel, which is an NBC channel, had taken off the 19th rerun of Law and Order.
Right, and you and, know, you
that
need
week,
to see that.
Yeah, the 19th rerun.
Right. So, but I was flipping the channels, and there was one, I don't even remember what the channel was on, where the guy was talking about, ranting about how they were shaving, the Russians were shaving the ice in order to give themselves a home, you know, so there's always this phobic, you know.
Yeah, but the one thing about it is I don't think Sochi was the best place to have the Olympics.
The weather was.
But who knew?
61
horrible.
Degrees.
But who knew?
I think they knew.
It wasn't a great place. There isn't a lot of. It's sort of like having it in like Washington D.C.
You're not supposed to go swimming during the Winter Olympics.
But it's not supposed to snow in Washington D.C. And more it does.
We'll see.
Yeah, but it was. It just. But the
well,
the
this is not
really
the fault of the area or even of the Russians. It's the fault of the committee that picked it. That this is all information that was known. Yeah.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we have, we have to go hear news, and then we'll be back, and then we have plenty of time, don't worry.
We're fine.
Roundtable at WMC.org. Good morning, and welcome back to the Roundtable.
We can't wait to start talking on this.
No, I know. Well, I understand that. We welcome your comments, roundtable at WMC.org. We have a few, and we'll get to those in just a moment. Before we do, as I start to collate them, I will... throw out the next topic, which is Arizona's legislature has passed a controversial bill that would allow business owners, as long as they assert their religious beliefs, to deny service to gay and lesbian customers. The bill, which the State House of Representatives passed by a 33-27 vote, now goes to Governor Jan Brewer, a Republican and one-time small business owner who vetoed similar legislation last year but has expressed the right of business owners to deny service. As expected, the measure has drawn criticism from Democrats and business groups who said it would sanction discrimination and open the state to the risk of damaging litigation.
Libby goes first.
Yes, Libby, go for it.
You know, just because the Constitution gives us freedom of religion, it does not equal freedom to discriminate. And there are plenty of Christians in this country that think that what this bill is about is unadulterated BS because they don't think that God has said gays are bad. Okay, you have a minority of what I call the radical Christian right who think our sheer existence and ability to identify oppresses them. And that's their issue. And that's their problem. And, you know, my existence as a person on this earth does not oppress anybody else. My existence as a person on this earth does not make it impossible for somebody else to practice their religion. They have taken this sense of entitlement in terms of imposing their religious beliefs on the rest of the country to a whole new extreme. And I want to thank them for doing this because this is going to go to the Supreme Court. And just like marriage, the 14th Amendment, full faith and credit, this is going to get thrown out. And it'll come down to what the U.S. Supreme Court is going to end up having to say based on precedent, that you can't discriminate based on sexual orientation and that your religious beliefs do not trump somebody being able to walk into a store and buy a pack of bubble gum. And how do you know?
Yeah, how? Okay. That's my part. How do you enforce this?
Okay, so I look like a dyke. Yeah, I know. I'm pretty butch and everybody knows it. But now... You can't tell. I'm 56 years old, and there are
actually,
so many people
I've been approached
out there.
Enough that I might get into trouble in Arizona, and I'm not.
You know,
yeah.
It's all about perception. How can you tell anymore? You can't. Yeah. You just can't.
Well, and
so what are you going to do? Ask somebody?
Well,
I'm not going to sell you the gum?
I know in one case in the state where this became an issue, where there was a death, and I believe the partner was planning his funeral for his longtime partner, and the florist refused to provide the flowers for the funeral because he was gay. Okay, so that's nice. I mean, in that case, you know. But by the same token, still wrong, and doesn't make and now to have the law sort of upheld is.
You know, I feel sorry for the people of Arizona, Libby, who have real problems in that state. And now our legislators are wasting time in this, as you say, this is not going to stand up in the Supreme Court. And I doubt it even has to go to the Supreme Court, tell you the truth.
Are you all, I mean, what frightens the hell out of me is, you know, we've got some pretty reactionary people on that Supreme Court. And so are you all absolutely positive that
if they struck down DOMA
marriage, right?
They're going to strike down
right.
this.
This is
insane. This is insane. You know, it's like hate crimes. I mean, some people have a problem with hate crime legislation, but it's based on, you know, if you're perceived to be gay and somebody beats you up because of your perception, whether or not you are. And there are people who get beat up because they present a little effeminate or they present a little masculine, you know, the wrong gender. And so they get the crap beaten out of them because of that. You know, the other part of this, you know, that people don't understand is, fine, you don't want our money? Well, take it someplace else.
And that community has a lot of money, actually.
There is some. I mean, there is a stereotype. But there are plenty of people in the community. But there was the Tucson-based Rocco's Little Chicago Pizzeria. It went viral on Facebook. They put up a big sign, "We reserve the right to refuse service to Arizona legislators."
Yes, I love that.
Okay, because people are like, they're fed up. And I think if you did a poll in Arizona, everybody would say, "We got much bigger problems. This is absurd."
To which I say, from your mouth to the Almighty's ear.
Right.
But I don't understand how legally, one of our listeners makes this point, too. Matt wrote in and from Rhinebeck and said, you know, how is this any different than whites only?
It's not.
Well, exactly.
It's not.
You know, I mean, and that's the point.
No. I was thinking about Woolworths.
I'm even wondering if the governor, sympathetic as she is, will sign this because it's so patently unconstitutional. I can't believe it. But
you got a dollar or two for a little side bet.
Sure, I'll bet you on that one.
Yeah. Well, the fact
Libby,
that
talk
it passed,
about Uganda, which is even worse. This is on an international level.
Uganda is a.
The Uganda bill, I mean, you can't, I mean, you know, in Russia you get arrested for speaking out. Uganda, you get thrown in jail for life for saying that you're, for identifying.
Or for even being caught in, with a person
with
of the same gender.
I mean, it's really, and this is the exportation of hate.
Yeah.
Of the radical Christian right. They can't get any traction here except for the idiots in Arizona, excuse me, but, you know, you can't get traction here, so they take this stuff out. Scott Lively, Peter LaBarbera, these folks that are so hateful, they go to Africa. They go to Russia. Yeah. They consulted with the Russians around their law. They're exporting hate because they can't sell it here, and they can sell it in Africa, and you're going to see more and more of this. Nigeria, there was a horrible mob scene recently where a gay man was brutally beaten, you know, and in Uganda, people are going to die. This is death to the gays bill, and people are going to die.
Although, Libby, you may be right in saying that there's something to thank them for, because this is also uniting people, saying this is outrageous. Mm-hmm. They finally are going to stand up and fight for their rights, which is may result in, you know, death and injury.
I'm sure people are going to die, but, you know.
I fear that, but but still, to fight for your rights is something, too.
Yes.
You know, I was reading that article this morning, and I mean, while it's just, there is nothing, it's just so horrific. And yet you see a term like aggravated homosexuality and you're like, what is that? Like, what is that?
A pissy queen? I don't know. Somebody who's angry? I don't know. Aggravated homosexuality? I mean, give me a break.
How did they come up with that?
Right, right. And it's just going to make it so much more difficult for people to live their lives, be productive members of society, just, you know, it makes no sense, but for these folks, it makes sense because it's about power, and it's they have very little power. I mean, the African countries have very little power on the world stage. They're poor. They're in debt to the IMF up to the wazoo. And so here's some place where the elected official can have a little bit of power, and it's about oppressing somebody else, and oppressing one of their citizens.
That's exactly right. It's the whole idea of the, you know, is to say to your people who you're not delivering for, let us give you something. We'll divert you with something of this terrible.
Yeah. Amnesty International says that homosexuality is illegal in 38 of 54 African countries.
So, illegal or legal? Did you say
illegal?
Well, it's a combination of a long tradition in African countries, and many of them are increasingly Islamic, which also
or
makes
Christian,
a sin
or Christian. I mean, the other part is the radical Christian. You know, when the Episcopal Church USA voted to ordain gay pastors and bishops, and they allow the marriages to happen, you know, there was that big split, and that split came out of Africa, out of the Episcopal Church in Africa. And that's, you know, where that split has come. And unfortunately, we have people who live in the Northeast who are active in the leadership in the Episcopal Church who are aligned with those folks and not aligned with the Episcopal Church USA.
And before we move on to this topic, take a break and go on to other issues, the president called the legislation a step backward for all Ugandans and said that the law could result in a review of relations with the United States.
What about Arizona? Is he going to review relations with Arizona?
Well, I think, you know, there's some of us who are like Arizona and Texas to secede, become their own little country.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, we will continue. We'll read your letters as well. Roundtable at WAMC.org.
Support comes from Edward Jones, Kingston, New York. Risa Condi, Edward Jones Financial Advisor in Uptown Kingston. Making Sense of Investing, 845-331-6293. University of New Hampshire, offering an online Master of Social Work program, now accepting applications for admission in May. mswonline.unh.edu. And Ichiban Japanese and Chinese Restaurant, Central Avenue, Albany. Japanese, Chinese, and sushi bar. Dinner entrees served with soup, salad, and shrimp appetizer. Dine-in, take-out, delivery. 518-432-0358.
Good morning and welcome back to our roundtable panel, Rosemary Romeo, Libby Post, and Alan Chartok, and we welcome your comments, roundtable at WAMC.org. Let's talk about e-cigarettes. You know, I was glad this article was published because it sort of had been in the back of my mind to find out what these things are. I see people with them. I don't understand them, really.
You've never smoked, right?
No.
Rosemary, you've never smoked, Libby? No.
No. Wow. This is
okay. Four non-smokers.
Wow.
All right.
This
so
is,
I've
this
never.
Is not a good
so,
panel
but I did talk. Not.
I grew up in a house where there was.
So
me
did
too.
I. So did we
oh,
all.
Oh yeah. I think we all. Yeah.
I
absolutely.
Used to go into the bathroom where my father swore he didn't smoke, but the window was always open.
Yeah. Yeah. It was, you know, Camels Unfiltered and Kent's was in my house. So.
So the question is over this debate over e-cigarettes as a path to tobacco or from it. And meaning, is it a gateway to tobacco, or is it a way to wean yourself off of a tobacco? The device is intended to feed nicotine addiction without the toxic tar of conventional cigarettes have divided a normally sedate public health community that had long been united in the fight against smoking and big tobacco. The essence of their disagreement comes down to a simple question. Will e-cigarettes cause more or fewer people to smoke? The answer matters. Cigarette smoking is still the single largest cause of preventable death in the United States, killing about 480,000 people a year. So the question is because these are devices, but you can only use them for a certain period of time, right? I mean, you have to buy a pack of them, from my understanding. Yes.
We don't know.
That's right.
No, you buy a pack of them.
Right.
So, I mean, they're only good for a certain time. It's not like you keep on using the same one over and over again.
Like razor blades.
That's right. Like razor blades.
That's how they get you.
Because I don't use those either.
I don't use those either, so what do I know?
Science that might resolve questions about e-cigarettes is still developing, and many experts agree that the evidence so far is too skimpy to draw definitive conclusions about the long-term effects of the devices on the broader population. The popularity of them is outpacing the knowledge, according to Dr. Michael Steinberg, associate professor of medicine at the Robert Wood Johnson Medical School at Rutgers University. We still have we'll have a better idea in another year or two how safe these products are, but the question is, will the horse be out of the barn by then? The high-stakes debate over what e-cigarettes mean for the nation's 42 million smokers comes at a crucial moment. Soon, the Food and Drug Administration is expected to issue regulations that would give the agency control over the devices, which have had explosive growth virtually free of any federal oversight. Some cities like Boston and New York and states like New Jersey and Utah have already weighed in enacting bans in public places. The new federal rules will have broad implications for public health. If they're too tough, experts say they risk snuffing out small e-cigarette companies in favor of big tobacco.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting. One of the arguments against them, and I think they're kind of gross, is that it makes cigarette smoking again look glamorous and desirable. And you smoke these just as you do regular cigarettes, and kids watch it and have maybe begun emulating. And there's also a big debate on how you should be allowed to advertise them for the same reason. Cigarette ads are banned in many places and can't broadcast them. So should the same be true of e-cigarettes?
In other words, there's a will, there's a way. I don't want to name names, but I knew a guy who, a sports guy, who made his entire living by doing chewing tobacco that looked in bags, you know, it was not chewing tobacco, it was gum looked like chewing tobacco.
Oh, wow.
I thought that was terrible. This is a guy who's often mouthing off of that.
When we were kids, we had candy cigarettes, remember?
That? Yeah, it was exactly right. Yeah. It's sure. Exactly right. And, you know, there's always somebody who's willing to make a buck off of everybody's potential suffering. It's disgusting. I think we all know it. You know, they can make all the arguments they want that it'll help people, you know, get off of it. But there still is one major way to get off of it, and that's to say, I'm getting off of it.
I want to know if CVS is going to sell them. But they have recently decided not to sell cigarettes.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
But also, I mean, I understand the gum analogy. But there is a mixture of nicotine and flavorings in here, and it is a vaporizer. Mm-hmm. It can either be battery powered or USB powered, which is nice. You can hook it up to your computer. That's
so
handy.
You can computer can smoke it.
That's right. That's handy.
Because the
that's
computers
cool.
really
yeah.
do have that. Kind
that's right.
Of
you can hook it up to your crank radio. And
very funny.
There you go. Well, true.
It was helpful.
Many are designed to simulate smoking implements such as cigarettes or cigars in their use or appearance. And
will your breath stink the same way as if you smoke a cigar?
No, they don't have a smell.
No, because it is a vapor. And that was the other thing. Can you do it inside as opposed to outside? People were doing it inside, and other people were around them were saying, well, I don't want that.
Why we're getting bans.
People were right.
Non-smokers are intolerant of all of this.
Which they should be.
They do. It has been said that electronic cigarettes should have fewer toxic effects than traditional cigarettes, and evidence suggests they are safer than real cigarettes and possibly as safe as other nicotine replacement products.
And how long will it be before the Surgeon General does a study and finds out maybe not so?
Well, this is what's interesting is because of the device, from my understanding of it, and again, I didn't fully understand this until I it was always one of those things I just didn't get, and then I started reading into it. But from the patch, people get the patch, right? Mm-hmm. And that's nicotine nicotine replacement.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So this is basically the same thing, except it's a vaporizer.
Right.
But it it also, the difference being that instead of putting it on your arm and not taking it in, smoking it, you are indeed sucking it in.
Well,
in
and
an
you
object
use the
that
same,
looks...
You use the same sort of hand and mouth
right.
gestures that you
you're
do
doing
with a cigarette.
The same
so it's supposed
oral
to help
thing.
You quit. Right, you're
right.
supposed to help quit.
Well, you guys sound
or,
like apologists. And I, on the other hand, think that it's clear that the patch is medicinal. You put the patch on because
right.
it's medicinal. The other
too.
Thing, well, you can make the argument, all right. I'm not denying it, but
well, I think that's the whole issue yeah. of are you coming off of it, or is this a way of coming off of it and using it as a nicotine replacement or a nicotine reduction, or is it a way of a gateway to say, okay, I'm going to start smoking these, and then I'm going to go to the
I think
it's
a way for Who's people to who? Smoke in places where smoking has been banned.
Right.
Yeah.
That's really what
Who's
this is
Who's fooling
about.
Who? This is
right.
just another cheap
it's,
trick.
It's
very easy for us non-smokers to talk about, oh, just quit and, you know, this is gross. I mean, it is a terrible addiction.
It is.
We have allowed corporations to addict people and protected them for a long, long time. And now they have to get off. And if this helps them, I would like to encourage it. I would like the science to be done so we know the answers to this.
What's interesting, though, is that big tobacco is getting into this.
Yeah, because they know it's
right.
big money. It's
and
big
they
money.
Will get into marijuana when that's legalized.
Right.
Also,
and indeed
there's a
they
way
will.
To make
yes.
a buck.
Yes. Yes,
yeah, but,
right.
but I don't agree with you. I think, Rosemary, which is untypical of my relationship with you,
yeah.
but I don't agree with you because I think you can never really say, let it go forward until we know more from the science. The same argument is being applied to fracking right now. Let us frack, and then if
we'll
later, and if later on, you know,
that's
it turns
different.
Out that
fracking
the water
means
is pushed.
You know you may want it and I don't, so I'm still affected by it. Smoking is an individual decision.
Yeah, but no. Look, I go into a place where there's people have been smoking. I feel it immediately. I have
yeah,
asthma,
that's why there are laws to forbid
right,
it. But
right.
e-cigarettes,
and,
you don't feel that effect.
Well,
and they
you
do take the tar out of it.
I know, but you don't know. You're still putting this stuff into your lungs, and we have no idea what the long-term impact.
You are not
be.
Taking it into your lungs.
Well,
somebody
she is.
Else is
if she's
I am.
Next
if I'm
to
standing
you
next to
you,
somebody,
not from e-cigarettes, Alan. That's just not.
It's a vapor.
Well, what are you a scientist? You know this.
It's easy, Alan. That's this is. You know, I'm not a scientist, and there's much of this I don't know.
Nor do you play one on TV.
But it's not secondhand smoke from cigarettes is not the same as secondhand
vapor.
Well, you know, that's an old argument. Nothing is the same as anything else. Nevertheless, is it harmful? It's the bottom line. Is it harmful? Libby makes a very good point here, and I hate to see you two fighting with each other. But,
oh, God, they're just, you know, I want to go, Joe. Yeah. I'm not liking this.
You have 2 minutes. But we don't want to take away Alan's fun. The one thing that I do think is interesting also is that this whole flavor thing is very weird to me. Like the vapor can be mango or watermelon or cherry,
strange. Papaya.
Papaya. Right. That's like... right. Coconut. So that's very cool. So
I'm bringing in a pack.
And by cool, I mean
we'll see. We're going to try it. We're going to have a roundtable experiment.
No, we're not.
Yeah, no,
no, we're not.
I just want to bring us back to Arizona for 1 minute. Can we do that? And that's because you know Jason Collins, the openly gay, has been signed by the Nets.
Right.
So what happens when he goes? Is it the Arizona Kings? I'm not sure what
the NBA team.
Yeah. What happens when he goes there?
Well, you should all watch, which
Phoenix
I've now
Suns.
I've now
Suns.
Watched
what
it
happens?
52 times. Number 42.
Because I know.
He went
42.
And he had trouble at some of these crazy places, and Pee Wee Reese came and put his arm around him.
A great
and you
got to
cry
right.
no matter what.
That's
and
right. But it'll be interesting because you know, are all these religious zealots who love basketball not going to go to the game?
Oh, come on.
He's only got 10 days on that contract.
I know he does,
but
still. 10
days.
What do you mean 10 days?
That's
they gave
it. The contract was 10 days.
Whoever heard of such a thing?
Well,
he's
you go.
A fill-in, basically.
Is that because is he a great basketball player or is he a moderate basketball player?
He's
a
been
big
in
guy.
And out. Yeah,
he's a big guy and he's been helpful, but he's not a star.
Right.
We're out of time.
Okay.
You can leave
we
now.
We didn't do Mexico.
We'll do Mexico.
Oh.
All right. thank you very much. We'll be back tomorrow and much more show coming up. You're listening to the Roundtable on WAMC.